Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The first part of Romans 16:25 says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel." I'm not sure that this is all that Paul means by that statement, but one thing that I think he obviously means is that the better we understand the gospel, the better we are established in the Christian faith. Surely that's not a difficult concept to accept. The better we understand the gospel, the better we become established in the Christian faith. Another way of putting it is, the gospel is not simply for unbelievers, but it is also for believers. Christians need the gospel. Why? Because Christians need to understand the gospel more thoroughly as time goes on. It doesn't take a deep understanding of the gospel in order to become a Christian. The Bible talks about childlike faith. Childlike faith does not involve a deep level of understanding. It does not involve a great deal of theological sophistication. It simply involves understanding that I'm a sinner and that Christ saves from sin and I'm trusting him to save me. Childlike faith will save. But childlike faith will not establish you as a Christian. What is it that establishes you? Some people think that the way to become established is to feel more, to have a stronger feelings in your heart and to keep renewing these feelings, because we live in a very feeling-oriented society and everything seems to be dependent upon our feelings. But that's not what the Bible is teaching. The Bible is teaching that we are established by growing knowledge, not by stronger feelings. And that's what Paul suggests here in Romans 16:25. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment and the everlasting God for obedience to the faith." There's content here. There's information here. There's understanding here. There is revelation. Increasingly clear revelation. And we need to comprehend, to apprehend, to understand. Our understanding needs to grow. And as our understanding grows, then we are better established in the Christian faith. We are continually growing in grace and knowledge. Grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that takes me back to the discussion about justification, which we entered into on the broadcast yesterday, and I gave you that rowboat illustration, and I tried to show you how misleading that is. And we reviewed the doctrine of justification and emphasized primarily the fact that the ground of our justification is the righteousness of Christ. The ground is not our good works. The ground is not even our faith. It is the righteousness of Christ. The ground of my profession is Jesus and his blood. He giveth me possession of everlasting good. So, technically, we are not saved on account of faith. We are accurately, we can put it this way, we are saved by faith, or we are saved through faith. if we understand by those words that we do not mean we are saved on account of our faith. As if our faith is some kind of merit that God accepts in the place of a perfect righteousness. It's almost as if, in the minds of some, that God says, well, I see you can't render the perfect righteousness that I require for salvation. So, if you will give me the faith that I demand, that I require, that pleases me, I will take that as a substitute for righteousness. Perfect righteousness, of course, would earn you salvation, but you've blown it. You can't render a perfect righteousness. So I tell you what I'll do. I'll lower the standard down to something that you're able to do. I will save you not on account of your righteousness. I will save you on account of your faith instead. And so our faith, in the minds of some, becomes a substitute for the required righteousness. But you see, if that's true, then we are saved because of our faith. We have, in a very real sense, saved ourselves. God has lowered the standard to a level where we are now able to save ourselves. But that's not the gospel. We don't save ourselves. We're saved by Christ. And the ground of our justification is the righteousness of Christ. Is it necessary to believe? Yes, it is. But faith is the instrument that we receive the imputed righteousness of Christ by. And the ground of our justification is the righteousness of Christ. Yes, there is the accepting of a substitute, but God doesn't accept our faith as a substitute for our righteousness, since we didn't have the required righteousness. God accepts the righteousness of Christ as a substitute for our righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but His is perfect. And so God imputes the righteousness of Christ to every believing sinner, and the ground of our justification is the righteousness of Christ. So back now to the rowboat of salvation. Remember that illustration? That salvation is kind of like crossing a lake in a rowboat. And you take, in the one hand, the oar of faith, and the other hand, the oar of good works. And you have to pull on both of those equally to get across. If you only try to get across by faith, you go around in circles. If you only try to get across the lake by good works, you go around in circles. But if you have faith and works, that will get you across. And that is misleading. It is dead wrong if we're talking about justification, which is the heart of the gospel. It may be closer to right if we're talking about the whole gamut of salvation from eternity past to eternity future, because, of course, there is a place for faith, an important place, an essential place, and there is a place for good works, an important place, an essential place, but not as the ground of our justification. And that's why this illustration tends to mislead rather than inform. And that's why this illustration highlights our need for doctrinal clarity, not for doctrinal ambiguity. And what needs clarifying? Well, first of all, as I've already indicated, that the word salvation needs clarification. When we talk about being saved, we usually are talking about being justified. Though it's not always that clear in our minds, but that's generally what we have in mind, that justification, because it is the heart of salvation, is what it means to be saved. What must I do to be saved? Acts 16:30. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be justified before the judgment bar of God. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What is that? Well, that's justification. You are justified. We say saved. The Bible says saved. The Bible uses the term saved and salvation as a synonym for justification. But really, we are justified by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, or we could say, according to His mercy, He justified us. Now, the problem with the rowboat illustration is that by making one oar faith and the other oar works, it suggests that there is an equal relationship between the two of them, an equality of order, an equality of effort. In other words, they must come together chronologically in order. We have to exercise faith. We also have to do good works. We do the same. We do them both in at the same time. There's an equality of order. There's an equality of effort. We must believe on the one hand. We must do good works on the other hand. And this confuses the nature of saving faith, which contains evangelical obedience, as the theologians put it. But it's not that obedience and faith are the same thing, or that they are equal parts of two different things, or two equal parts of the same thing. Faith is a lifelong exercise. And as we exercise faith, we produce good works. That's what Ephesians 2:10 tells us. For we are His workmanship. He's the one who's doing the work. He's the one who creates us, who gives us life, who creates us as children of God. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. How does God create His children? What does He create them to do? How does He create them to behave? What kind of desires and abilities and aspirations and goals does He create in this renewed heart? Well, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. They're not optional. Anything that God has foreordained must come to pass. They're not optional. They are necessary. But that's not the ground of our justification. The rowboat illustration fails to clarify whether the action on the oars of faith and the oar of good works is something we do without divine enablement or something that God works within us. It implies it's something that we do on our own. You want to be saved? Get in the rowboat of salvation, and you pull on the oars. The pull on the oar of faith, pull on the oar of good works, and by your effort at pulling on these oars, you can get across the lake and arrive safely in heaven. But that's not right. The fact of the matter is, you have no ability to pull on the oar of faith, and you have no ability to produce the good works that God requires until you have been justified. It takes justification before the judgment bar of God to make your good works acceptable to God. Otherwise, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, is what the Bible teaches us. We can't do good works that please God until we have been saved. Then we do the good works that please God. And they flow out of our faith. They flow out of a new heart. They flow out of the Holy Spirit's work of regeneration in our soul. They are acceptable before God because we have been justified already at the judgment bar of God. And when we have been saved, then God sees our works, imperfect as they are, but He sees them in the righteousness of Christ, and He accepts them because we are in Christ and because we have been justified. So it is important that we be clear about these matters. And I am pleading for precision and clarity in understanding, particularly in regards to salvation. That's the whole point of what we're talking about, and I hope you will agree that it's very important indeed. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.